Warning, content may cause spontaneous combustion. We are bringing the fire with 3 sizzling episodes a week. Spice up your routine with Fantasy Tuesdays, get cozy with Bedtime Stories on Wednesdays, and let Ashlyn unleash your wild side on Thursdays. Subscribe now to get alerts when new episodes drop because things are about to get wicked.
Warning, this show may be highly arousing and distracting. Listener discretion advised.
Turn the lights low, slip beneath the covers, and escape with me into the world of forbidden desires. I'm Mistress Wicked Ashlyn, and I'll be telling you a story designed to ignite your passions. Let my voice be your guide on a journey of pleasure where fantasies become reality, at least for tonight. Want to get to know the woman behind the mic? Visit wickedashlyn.com. Connect, play games, maybe even spoil me a little. Teen Bondage, My Neighbor's Daughter, Part 2, by LL. I was as close to dying that night as I've ever been. My neighbor had come home from the precinct without warning, no doubt in uniform and holstering a police-issued 9mm. And there I was, a middle-aged man, in the basement of his house, his barely legal daughter locked up in her father's handcuffs without a key, her pants off and her legs dripping my warm seed. "Honey, are you all right?" Kenneth yelled from the foyer, out of sight, but sounding quite alarmed nevertheless. How did he know I was down there?
"I'm fine, Dad. Why wouldn't I be?"
Jen's voice cracked like a pubescent boy. I heard the stairs creak as Kenneth's size 14 boots made their way towards the basement level. He was steps away from catching us.
"Don't come down here. I'm changing,"
Jen begged. The creaking stopped. I could see Kenneth's shadow projected on the stairway drywall. His gun looked huge in the silhouette. My heart pounded like a car sub. "Changing? In the entertainment room?" he asked, puzzled.
Yeah. I didn't want to miss my show."
"I saved Jennifer." "Oh, well," Kenneth continued, "I'm glad you're okay. We took a call from the station about a prowler in the neighborhood's backyard." Kenneth seemed hell-bent on coming down. I heard the stairs creak again, but Jennifer kept her cool. Had she done this before?
"Dad, I'm having girl issues."
Kenneth's shadow stopped dead in its tracks. I could hear his breath and the sound of his hand scratching at his 5 o'clock shadow as he wondered what to say. "Oh, all right. I'm glad you're safe. I'll be out in my patrol car the rest of the night. I won't leave the neighborhood." When I heard the engine idle and finally fade away, I gasped and gulped large mouthful of air. I had been holding my breath without realizing it. "We need to get those cuffs off you." The next few weeks weren't very memorable. I went back to my punishing workout routines and put in long hours at work. I bought a new saw to replace the one I wore down cutting the cuffs chain. I saw Jen in the neighborhood from time to time, but the close call made us leery of each other. "You seem to be in a good mood," I told Kenneth as we rested between deadlift sets in my garage. It felt mildly awkward around him after what I did to his little girl. "Is it that noticeable?" he asked, flashing a smile. "You are borderline giddy." He took a 45-pound plate and loaded it on the barbell. "The ex and I are going to meet up and have a talk. This could be my chance to set the wrong things right," Kenneth said. "They plan a 5-day trip to Vancouver to test the waters. He'll be leaving in a week." That meant Jen would have the house to herself, unguarded. I was both thrilled and terrified, and the guilt began to mount again. I peeked from behind the blinds and watched as he loaded the last of his luggage in his F-150. Jen walked across the grass carrying Tupperware in her hand. Her hair was braided in pigtails and she wore white hipster sunglasses and a red spring dress. I imagined pulling those golden legs apart, wrenching her panties to the side, and fucking her warm, wet pussy right then and there on the front lawn. A few minutes later, Kenneth was gone, headed for Canada. I needed to get the fuck out of Dodge. "Dan, I know this is short notice, but I need to go to Minnesota for a week. Yes, this is an emergency. No, nobody died." My boss, Daniel Glossing, was disappointed, but my track record helped to smooth things over. By midday Thursday, my luggage was packed and the house alarm set. I hadn't planned where to stay, figuring things would be clear to me once Oregon was out of sight. Maybe she had a sixth sense, or she heard me fumbling in my garage, but she definitely knew I was leaving. When I opened the door, luggage and GPS in hand, there she was in her red dress, standing with her hands on her hips and her head tilted to the side as if to say, "You aren't going anywhere without me, are you, Mr. B?" She didn't say a word, just looked at me with her green northern light eyes. She ran a wet tongue along her plump bottom lip, revealing a blue and black tongue ring I never noticed before. She crossed her arms, grabbed the sides of her dress, and lifted it up to her neck, revealing her completely naked, bikini-tan body. Her breast pointed out at the perfect angle, pink nipples hard with anticipation. She kept her dark little patch of pubic hair neat and trimmed. Goosebumps covered her torso and hips. No doubt she was turned on by this little display of show and tell. The house alarm beeped, causing me to snap out of it. I grabbed Jen by the arms and pulled her into the foyer, slamming the door behind her. I deactivated the alarm on the keypad and took a look through the blinds. Mr. Dawson had been washing his car across the street the entire time. Now he stood looking in our general direction. Did he see us?
"Don't worry about that, old man,"
Jen said behind me.
"If he saw anything, he'll forget about it right quick."
"How do you know?" I asked her, hoping she did know.
"I'm a people watcher. Mr. Dawson checks his mailbox at least 10 times a day, even after he's grabbed the newspaper. Alzheimer's disease."
I turned to her, heart fluttering as I basked in her perfection. She looked like a Viking goddess, hair so blonde it was almost white, skin tone and bronze from yoga sessions on the back deck.
"It doesn't take much for you, does it, Mr. B?"
She pointed at the crotch of my jeans and giggled. She reached down and grabbed at it. I could feel her warm hand rubbing me through my thin runner shorts. "We can't, Jen." I pulled her hand away. "Your dad carries a gun for a living." She laughed and her whole body shook, her breast bouncing beneath her dress. She reached for my cock again. "Jen, I mean it. I'm too old for you. What we did last month could get us into trouble." She was frustrated to say the least. A girl of that caliber wasn't used to getting turned down, and it made her want me even more. Nevertheless, I managed to get rid of her. Within 20 minutes after taking an ice-cold shower and double-checking the locks, I was finally on the road. "You're now leaving Portland," sign took a load off my chest, but the rendezvous with Jen left me exhausted regardless. It took everything out of me to resist that body. Comfort Inn's clerk gave me a key to room 12. Laying on the queen-size bed, I started feeling like my old optimist self again. I ordered chow mein from Ming's Wall across the street and picked a Bruce Lee movie out of the hotel's catalog. I decided then and there that this unexpected vacation would turn into a road trip along the West Coast. There was a half marathon outside of Los Angeles, which I signed up for online. I got in touch with my Orange County friend over email, and we agreed to a last-minute party on his yacht. He knew a dozen single ladies who'd be more than happy to tag along with us. Who needed my neighbor's hot daughter? Life was good. My phone rang just past midnight as Bruce Lee cracked his neck before the final duel. I fumbled the phone out of my coat's side pocket. "Hello?" At first I heard nothing, then the faint sound of labored breathing. "Who is this?" I asked. "Do you realize what time it is?" The breathing turned to sobs. It was a girl's voice. "Jen, what's wrong? How'd you get this number?" Within 15 minutes, I was checked out and heading back to Portland, now scared more than ever. Jen had taken a pregnancy test, two tests to make sure, and they both came back with double lines. My lips felt numb and the hairs on my head tingled static. There'll be no sleeping tonight. By the time I was back on Echo Drive, it was 3 a.m. 3 tablets and 2 glasses of wine later, I finally passed out after all. There was no answer at Kenneth's door when I darted over the next day. I banged until Mr. Dawson, tired of the clamoring, shouted, "I don't think he's home. Give it a rest, for God's sake." Where could she be that was more important than our issue? Did she break it to her parents already? Did she tell Kenneth? I waited by the blinds until nightfall like a cat, ready to pounce. Each pair of headlights that appeared over the hill made my heart pound, but there was no sight of her yellow Jeep. My cell rang. The caller ID read K. Springfield. Shit. I might as well pay the piper. Not answering will only delay it. "Hi, Ken," I said, trying to sound nonchalant. "Fuck that cunt bitch, how could she?" He sounded livid. but who wouldn't? Something fell over and crashed in the background. He was destroying things, slamming them down and kicking them. All right, Ken, I know how this must be for you. Believe me, you have all the right in the world to be angry. Fucking right I do. I'm ready to break some heads. I mean it. The thought of his police baton crushing my head suddenly flashed in my head. I tried John. I know this doesn't mean much right now, but I want you to know that I'll take care of everything. Diapers, sitters, a college fund, they'll all be accounted for. A brief silence. What on earth are you talking about? Kenna shouted. The crashing stopped and the line was silent. Nothing. I think we're having two different conversations here. I'm talking about my wife, man. She set me up, had me pay for a fancy hotel up here in Canada, only to get an email about how what goes around comes around, shit like that. Kenneth spilled the backstory. He had slept with one of his wife's friends, a bridesmaid at their wedding, and the godmother of guess who. That's why they divorced in the first place, and that's why she planned the trip for them. Really fucked him over. This wasn't about me at all. Relief washed over me so strong I could have cried then and there. I let her book pedicures, massages, bus tours, all under my name. None of that shit is refundable. His shouting was interrupted by a knock at the entrance. I unlocked the deadbolt and opened the door to see Jen in a dripping wet, fluorescent orange bikini carrying a huge harbor box, almost too heavy for it to hold. It was full of BDSM stuff, ropes, chains, straps, a couple of padlocks, a beaded paddle, and other stuff too erotic for me to recognize. Ken, gotta go. I heard the faint sound of Ken cussing and throwing stuff before I disconnected.
I was at a keg party down the street,
Jen told me as she emptied the box of toys on her bedroom floor. Ken had definitely spoiled her good. She had a king-sized canopy bed with silk sheets and matching drapes. A dark cherry oak vanity sat in the corner with piles of bracelets, anklets, earrings, makeup kits, and a state-of-the-art flat screen with a stuffed E.T. toy placed carefully on top, hung on the opposite wall.
Like my TV? Dad just bought it for me. It still has that fresh, out-of-the-box smell to it.
Kind of like you, I added. She chuckled, her full breast moving beneath her still, damp bikini top.
I want you to tie me up,
Jen told me. By instinct, I grabbed the rope and started figuring out an adjustable knot, but I shook off my desires for a moment to think clearly. Jen, we can't. We need to talk about the baby. Jen's laughter interrupted and she fell back on her bed. Her whole body shook as she tried to breathe.
My sides hurt. Please, no more. I can't take it.
What on earth is going on, Jen? She sat up and let the last few chuckles out of her system. She wiped away a few tears and looked up at me, grinning ear to ear.
I'm not pregnant, silly,
she said to me, and then broke into uncontrollable laughter again. You're not? I questioned.
No, of course not. But how else was I going to get you to turn your car around and come fuck me?
I wasn't sure what to feel. On one hand, I was pissed she lied. On the other, I was relieved she wasn't pregnant. My third hand, aka the rock-solid cock in my pants, was wondering why I wasn't already naked with the hot 18-year-old vixen. I grabbed the thick boater's rope from the floor and studied its length, about 3 feet.
My girlfriend at the keg just split up with her boyfriend. She had to get rid of everything that reminded her of them.
Their loss is our gain, I replied. I pushed her, not all that gently, onto the bed. This would be payback for what she did. I wouldn't be gentle.
Ouch, that really hurts.
Jen complained half-serious as I tried her hands to each bedpost with leather straps. I made sure to fasten the pin as tight as possible. She was less sure about giving up her legs, now realizing my intentions were to play it rough.
I've never done this before. You're starting to scare me.
I grabbed one leg and managed to straighten it out long enough to fasten it to the third post using the boater's rope. She struggled good with the other leg, but I managed to tie that one down too. Somehow, she looked equally turned on and frightened all at once. Her bikini was still on, so I took it off the fun way by tearing it to pieces. She looked incredible sprawled out on the bed, legs and arms spread wide. I could see a stream of wetness dribbling down her thigh. It betrayed how hot she found all of this. I licked a finger and rubbed her clit gently. Her hips gyrated with the motions of my hand. I took 3 fingers and slipped them inside her.
Ah, that's too many, she pleaded.
It felt tight and wet inside her, and I slowly inserted my fingers deeper. She squirmed, but I continued.
It hurts,
she begged. Part of her was turned on too. She loved giving herself up, and I loved taking her. I worked quickly to change her position. Loosening and tightening the straps one at a time, I managed to flip her so she was tied down flat on her stomach. Her lower back arched and her ass hung in the air, inviting me. I removed my clothes and knelt down behind her ass.
"What are you going to do?"
she asked, squirming in the straps. I didn't answer. I let the head of my throbbing cock rest on the opening of her ass.
"No, I've never done that before."
She begged me to stop, moving her ass back and forth to get away. But I saddled on top of her, holding her still with my weight. I got in my cock to her pink opening.
"Oh."
She let out an animalistic plea. I felt the grip of her pink hull around the head of my dick, and I slowly inched my way deeper inside her ass. Her ass was already lubed to perfection by her dribbling wet pussy.
Oh God,
she screamed. "Just relax. Let me in," I directed. Her ass relaxed enough for me to enter further. I let the rest of my weight settle on her back, and I curled my legs around hers to keep her completely still. With my weight totally on her, my cock dug as deep as it would go. She squealed. I began thrusting deep and slow, and she moaned incoherently as my cock grew harder and firmer inside of her. I could feel every inch of her tight canal. I picked up the pace as the sensations made Jen slip into a semi-unconscious state. She continued to ramble, not making sense. But my cock felt so tight, I thought it would explode. I began to feel that familiar warm static by my balls. The pressure built to a breaking point, and I found myself heaving uncontrollably. "I'm going to come inside your ass," I warned Jen.
"Yes, do it,"
she begged. The thought of my seed inside her tight, young butt began to escalate her towards her own orgasm. "I'm coming," I yelled. Finally, and right before I was about to pass out myself, I felt my cock contract. Pulse after pulse of my hot cum filled her sweet, virgin ass.
"Oh, God, I can feel it,"
Jen screamed, and she was instantly thrown into a realm of ecstasy. Her legs trembled, and she groaned as each pulse of thick cum filled her to the brim. When I got off, Jen's legs were still twitching, and she shivered wildly. I saw my white fluid fill to the brim of her ass and spill down the arch of her back. "Ooh," Jen cooed, still in dreamland. Click. I heard the front door open, then slam. Someone was in the house. How could this happen to me again? Ken was supposed to be in Canada. Why would he take a last-minute flight home? "Fucking damn it," I screamed at no one. Jen was useless, basking in the aftershock of her first anal orgasm. There was nothing to do but wait. Maybe he'll head back out, decide to pick up a pizza, get his car washed. I heard the sound of luggage wheels roll across the foyer and onto the kitchen floor. Click, 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 as it rolled across the tile. I heard the fridge door open, then close. I threw my pants on and began to untie Jen's straps when the bedroom door opened and we were caught completely and utterly red-handed. I hope you enjoyed that story. I sure did. I am so soaked. Very soaked. Wouldn't you love to feel? Check back next week for the final part of our misadventures with Ron and Jennifer. Who came through the door? Will Kenneth finally catch them together? You will have to wait to find out.